Hello and welcome to the NRL Supercoach Champions podcast. I'm Joe Fitz. We are deep into the off-season, but it feels like it's almost 2023 with the news the Dolphins will become the NRL's 17th team in a little more than a year. And here to help us through it is a man who is surely tempted to switch his allegiance to red and white. It's Wilf.
Look, I won't lie and say I'd never thought about it at all, but it was a pretty quick deliberation. I'm not jumping ship. I've been a Broncos man my whole life, and yeah, I know like NRL physio, Brisbane Broncos fan, but he is pretty much like, it's unofficially, he's the number one ticket holder, right, for the new Dolphins club.
Yeah, I think there's certainly a public campaign mounting for him to be made. It'd be a bit of a turn up. I'm sure there's plenty of celebrities that would want to be queuing up as well, but hey, I'll throw my weight behind it.
How many of those celebs have as many Twitter followers, Instagram followers as NRL physio, mate? I don't know.
Yeah, that is very, very fair. We should start some kind of groundswell campaign to get it happening. It would be absolutely fantastic. But no, so you did, it crossed your mind very briefly, but you're sticking fat with the Broncos, hey?
Yeah, I think so. I was trying not to get my hopes up, but I read some, you know, season review type, you know, 2022 preview type analysis out there. So for those who haven't read it, like if you look at they're called rugby league writers. It's independent, basically bunch of guys who just watch footy, write about it, and break it down into really good analysis. So yeah, so you can find them on Twitter at RL Writers. They're known as the rugby league writers. Basically, you can throw a little bit of money at them, subscribe, $5 a month, and yeah, look, their analysis is top-notch. I definitely can't recommend it enough. Check it out. But, yeah, they've been doing season previews, and I kind of got a little bit excited after I read their Broncos review / preview for next year. And I have hope, and that's dangerous. Hope is very dangerous, because I think that's where it actually can actually hurt when things don't go well.
It's really interesting. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about the runaway success of The Athletic, which I'm a subscriber. I absolutely love it. It's just about the best kind of sports news content going around. And their opinion was that they suck in sports fans by basically pandering to each team because it's so customizable. So if you're I'm a Liverpool fan, they've got Liverpool beat writers on there, but all the stuff that they publish, it's not kind of independent. It's very like Liverpool fans for Liverpool fans. And that's what kind of keeps you interested in the model, because it makes you feel good to be a Liverpool fan. So it's good to see the rugby league writers are doing the same thing by, you know, keeping Broncos fans, interested and optimistic for the season, mate.
Well, look, I say
what
that.
A subtle put down that was. Sorry about that. That was rude of me.
I was just about to pull up the Bulldogs review from
yes, somewhat less optimistic, no doubt.
No, it's all good. So I guess, like I said, it's a brief plug there. Obviously, not a sponsor or anything like that. But you know, I'm all for encouraging people to support independent rugby league content, general rugby league, and obviously Supercoach stuff as well. So definitely check it out. I think it's, in terms of pure analysis and actually breaking down football and things like that, it's not just stats, it's not just data, but it's actually, you know, they'll show plays and break it down and talk about what's been done well and what's not. So it's really quite interesting. I learned so much from it. So yeah, definitely highly recommend it.
They're not crisis merchants. It's very intelligent discourse. Yeah, very highly recommended.
Definitely. So I guess, yeah, like I said, I have hope for the Broncos next year. And let's just say, I'm just going to wait and see what happens with the off season, where there's always plenty going on in rugby league. And yeah, this time next year, we'll see if that hope was misplaced or not.
Yes. So the Dolphins are a little more than a year away. We've got a bit more Dolphins content to come a bit later in the show, but Wilf, off air we were talking about, you know, how viable the dolphin is as a mascot. I know, you know, some of the NRL teams go a little bit esoteric with Storm, or very traditional, you know, with the Warriors or the Raiders or stuff like that. And we were kind of talking about, you know, how scary is it? Does it strike fear into the hearts of opponents or opposing fans, rocking a dolphin logo on your chest?
Yeah, look, on the surface, I'd say no. But for anyone, and this is a bit of a throwback, so anyone who's watched The Simpsons Treehouse of Horrors episode Attack of the Dolphins, I think, you know, you'd have to argue that maybe dolphins are not as lovable as we might think. But let me play this real quick.
Come on, lads! Let's drive them back to the ocean!
Well, you got to hand it to those dolphins. They just wanted it more.
Spoiler alert there. If you haven't seen the episode, the dolphins win. So, yeah, humanity is doomed. The dolphins have kicked the humans into the ocean and taken over the land.
That's a fantastic drop to play when the dolphins win every game or a game. The dolphins just wanted it more. I love it.
Hey, look, and you can say that about the NRL expansion bid, honestly. they persevered, and you know, there's obviously a lot of hype about the Firehawks and the Jets and everything. The Brisbane Bombers thankfully didn't stick around for too long, and yeah, in the end, the Dolphins won out.
Yeah, it clearly the best bid. I guess the shame is that, you know, the massive growth corridor, you know, in SEQ is through Ipswich, and they're all rugby league nutbags down there. So, you know, it would have been nice to, if the Jets had their kind of act together a bit better, to see that bid get up. But yeah, no denying that the Dolphins had the money behind them. And most importantly, just the know-how, because we've seen what happens in the NRL if you don't have kind of the front office well put together. You just cannot have sustainable success on the field if you don't have the right people running the club. So it seems that they've got it all sorted from that perspective, and certainly by signing Wayne Bennett. I mean, that's got to be the most important signing. You know, that's going. The man knows how to run a club and manage a roster and get the most out of players, doesn't he?
And I think just the name value alone means players will come. Like, when you've got Wayne Bennett there, people will come play for you. And I just, you know, and not to harp on too much about the Broncos, but when we lost Bennett, I just knew that was not going to play out well for the next few years, because we're going to have people walk. If Bennett was around, like, we don't lose Sam Walker. We don't lose Reece Walsh. Like, these are the mistakes that get made, because the players aren't afraid to walk away if they don't have, you know, a super coach like Wayne Bennett at the helm, and they'd rather play for someone else instead. So I do think that's a huge, huge move for the Dolphins. And, yeah, I mean, the weird thing is obviously right now it's there's no location to it. They're literally just the Dolphins, even though they're meant to be the second Brisbane club, so to speak. It's early days yet, but I don't feel like there's any rivalry at this stage. You know, they're meant to be the team that's been brought in to have the local derbies with the Broncos, because, let's face it, the Titans just couldn't cut it in the derby stakes. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm not sensing it right now. I don't know if it's just because they haven't been called the North Brisbane Dolphins or the River City Dolphins or whatever they want to call them. It just doesn't seem like it at the moment.
Oh, look, it doesn't. But that being said, you know, rivalries, you know, begin to happen when there's battles on the field and opposing fans are screaming about the refs being one-eyed and biased, or, you know, this player being a grub or that player, you know, all that stuff. It's that will come. I've got absolutely no doubt. And look, I've got to be honest, it's just not a good time for the Broncos. Like, that, I don't have a lot of faith that Kevy's going to turn it around. And if he doesn't, you know, there's just a big segment of fans that are just kind of jack of how the Broncos have been run and going. And it does represent a risk to the fan base for them to jump ship, particularly. You know, we talked about Wayne Bennett, you know, knowing how to run a tight ship and a good club. You know, if the Dolphins get their act together pretty quickly, it's going to be a real rivalry fast.
Yeah, I guess, especially if they do pinch any of the Broncos players, the up-and-comers. And look, we might dig into that a little bit later. But to go back to what you were saying before about the Dolphins as a mascot, and I guess this is what I proposed to you at the before we jumped on air, like, let's do a draft. Let's do a draft of NRL team mascots to participate in a battle royale. So let's set the scene. It's a, you know, it's the Colosseum. The gladiators are hanging around. They're here to watch, and we've got a team of NRL team mascots. We're gonna pick what, three each, maybe?
Yeah, sure.
Three is a good number.
I've got my three
already.
Yeah, well, man, you're in big trouble.
it's a draft, remember? So look. Out of, you know, consideration, I'll let you pick first, mm-hmm. but then it's going to go to me and I'll pick two in a row and then you pick two in a row and we'll kind of go like that, a snake draft as they call them.
Absolutely. With the first pick in the NRL Supercoach Champions mascot draft, Joe Fitz selects the Dragons.
That is, yeah.
I mean, come on. They're massive, massive mythological creature, breeds fire. You know, not a lot else is going to reach it. Fire-breathing dragon for me leading off the mascot draft.
They certainly were, you could argue, the 101, as they say, the number one pick of the draft. But look, I think you might have overlooked one key thing here. I mean, the Titans. Titans basically, they're demigods, right? They're practically immortal. So, you know, with the second pick, I've got to pick the Titans. I think you're going to find it really tough to take my team down if you've got these demigods running around causing havoc.
Well, I think the Dragons will go mano a mano and try and stay out of reach, but you do have a second pick now, so it'll be very interesting to see which way you pivot.
Look, I think I'm just going to have to go with the anti-dragon. This is purely a pick to aim to take out your dragons, and I've got to pick the Knights, right? How many stories, how many mythical tales have there been? I mean, wasn't St. George an actual... I don't know my history or whatever, or my mythical history, but I'm sure there must have been a knight at some point called George who took down a couple of dragons. So I've got to go the Knights in that one.
Saint George was a knight that slayed a dragon, but he wasn't from Newcastle. And I don't think the Australian version of the Knights is really up to that much snuff. So no dragon slaying there. Didn't think of the Titans, not too bad a pick. But I dare say if it wasn't going to be the Knights, for me, going to go with the Raiders of Canberra. I think while the traditional Vikings didn't have horns, I think the Canberra version does, and pretty fearsome axes and a Viking clap. I think they'll be able to take a knight out, you know, pretty easy, even though they've got that heavy armor.
Look, I think that's a pretty good pick there. Obviously, the Raiders, they're known to be pretty ferocious with that history that they've got, invading, basically, looting, pillaging, whatever you want to describe it. So, yeah, great shout there. I think you got one more pick, though.
Yeah, I do, and I'm going to go a little left field because I'm a bit worried about how big your Titan is. So how about I just smite him with some lightning and go with the Storm? You know, how can you compete with Mother Nature and the weather? The Storm's just going to take one look at your Titan. The tallest things attract lightning in a storm, nothing bigger than a Titan. So I'm just going to fry that bastard.
I thought that was going to be my last pick. I thought I'd have a sneaky one there because I'm trying to work out, like, are storms technically, you know, how do you kill a storm, right? You just got to ride it out. You sort of let them get through their damage. And I don't know, like, does your storm disappear once it's finished? That's the only question I'm going to throw in there as a bit of a left field kind of questioning there.
Yeah, look, it probably does, but the storm won't finish until the Titan's finished, and that's all that needs to happen, mate.
Fair call. Look, I'm going to finish off with my final pick, a bit of a left field one. I was thinking, look, maybe going with the animals, you know, the Panthers, the Tigers, they're pretty ferocious. They'll be hard to take down, but I think I'm going to do a little bit of a cheeky one. I'm going to pick the Cowboys. Do you know why? Because they have guns.
I'm baffled. Oh, yeah, okay.
They've got guns. I mean, Dragons, they didn't have to contend with gun slingers. These guys will actually, you know, shoot. And, you know, I don't know how they'll fare against the Storm. Maybe they can hide behind the Titans for a while. But I'm going to have to count on modern technology, modern warfare with the guns.
Fair enough. And I guess the Cowboys have experience shooting other Cowboys or maybe a horse like a Bronco. I tell you what they don't have experience shooting, and that is a big MFN Tiger. 12 foot and 400 kilo of tiger. I'm more than happy to match it up against the piddly six shooters of a cowboy.
Wait, did you just pick a fourth mascot? I think you just did.
Did I? Bugger. I was going to get, yeah, I did. Look, no, the Storm just zaps everyone. I win.
Yeah, that's. Look, I think this is all a bit of silly fun anyway. I was going to say, if you're going to make me pick a final option, I was going to go with something really left field and pick, you know, the eels because they're just going to slither around and no one can catch them.
Because they're so slimy.
That's so slimy, just slithering around the edges of the Colosseum while everyone's getting, you know, beating each other up. Or alternatively, I was thinking maybe the seagulls because they're just going to be flying high in the sky, dodging all of the damage. They just got to avoid the storm and then they'll be okay.
And possibly a huge dragon. But, yeah, how far down the list would you have to go before you picked your team, mate?
Look, they'd be pretty down there, but I think there's a couple of teams I would have definitely, you know, I mean, it's a Colosseum, so I think the Sharks, you can safely rule them out because they'd be pretty useless on land.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, the Roosters and the Rabbitohs, not exactly, you know, fearsome creatures themselves. So,
yeah.
Would you prefer a Bronco or a Bulldog, though?
Oh, 100% a Bronco. Bulldogs are particularly English Bulldogs. They've been bred down into almost mutant status. They're these tiny dogs with huge heads and they don't have a lot of stamina. So maybe the old school Bulldogs 100 years ago, they were kind of like boxers, but anyone who's seen an English Bulldog nowadays, they're halfway to being a pug. So, not quite as ferocious as what the Canterbury Bankstown founders may have wished, back in the 40s.
I wonder if they should have called themselves the Pitbulls instead.
Well, then they'd be able to take their brand Mr. Worldwide.
Oh, gosh, that's bad. I was not ready for a Pitbull reference.
It's the off-season, folks. Getting a bit loose.
It is the silly season. But, all right, so your team. Introduce your team. Who did you end up drafting?
Okay, so I drafted the mighty mythological dragons, the ferocious Viking raiders, and the fury of nature storm.
Not a bad lineup, and I'm countering that with the demigods in the Titans, the anti-dragon killing knights, and finishing it off with the cowboys taking advantage of the fact that they have guns, basically.
Fair enough.
All right, that's a bit of silly fun, but I think I think it goes to show that the NRL team mascots, some of them could have been thought out a little bit more, I don't know, in a bit more detail, I reckon.
Yeah, possibly. But, yeah, look, some of the best teams are Rabbitohs and Roosters and all that kind of stuff. I don't think the ferociousness of the mascot has too much to do with the ferociousness of the team on the field. So, yeah, happy to move on to our next exercise, Wolf.
All right, so I guess, you know, the Dolphins, let's talk about them because they're going to be a new club and their introduction is going to shake up Supercoach. So first and foremost, you know, let's keep in mind it's 2023, so no impact for next year. So this is all hypothetical chat for two seasons' time. But what we do know so far from what they've said, there'll be still 24 games played per team. There'll be 26 rounds. And obviously 17 teams. So basically every single round, there's going to be one team that's on bye. So every team will have two byes. And, yeah, we'll have to wait and see how that will actually shake out in terms of Supercoach.
Hugely interesting, though, from a tactical perspective, that, you know, you're going to have those rolling byes every week. I think that will add a new dimension.
Absolutely. I think, you know, and this is all speculation, but surely they're going to need to expand the squads. We must have a team of 30 or something like that instead of just 25. That's my first thought. But, you know, that's a problem for News Corp to sort out across, you know, the next 2 years, no doubt. And, you know, what we're going to look at here is kind of, you know, let's play fantasy in terms of what will their roster look like for 2023, the inaugural round one Dolphins team. Who do you reckon their number one marquee player is going to be?
So as an exercise, we kind of wanted to make the call that it would be players that are off contract or have a player option for 2023, making it kind of their choice that they could come. A lot of speculation about Cam Munster, you know, being targeted by Wayne Bennett, but he is under contract at the Storm, so we've kind of pushed him to the side for this exercise. You really have to go with someone in the spine. They are the most important positions in the game. They're also the most important positions in Supercoach as well, which is helpful. So I would say for me, I think it's probably going to be Kalyn Ponga for mine.
Yeah, so I think his contract situation is that come end of 2022, he is available to discuss. Actually, no, I think he's already available as of 1st of November because he's off contract at the end of 2022. So, yeah, definitely Ponga is certainly on the cards as a potential marquee signing. You know, there was chat that the Broncos would have chased him as well for 2023. But, you know, it makes sense with the Dolphins. They'll have plenty of cash to splash. And, you know, there's something, I think there's something quite appealing for these superstar players to be the number one guy of that new expansion team. Like, I definitely could see Ponga being someone who would want to look into that. I know he's quite settled in Newcastle and enjoys the lifestyle there and everything like that, but he's obviously from Queensland and it's, you know, Munster wants to come back. So I think technically Munster, he can't be spoken to until the end of 2022,
if I'm not mistaken.
So offhand, I'm sure there could be discussions between, you know, a coach who hasn't started working yet in Wayne Bennett and, you know, a player who's, yeah. So potentially that could still happen. And Bennett's on record already identifying Munster as the guy he would want to bring to be his number one signing. But yeah, I think, yeah, Ponga's a great shout. Another one is Reece Walsh, who despite being on contract for 2023 as well, I believe it's a player option. So again, the clubs could speak to him. And obviously, again, being previously based in Brisbane, it would make a lot of sense for him to be able to come back to Brisbane and be the face of the franchise. And what a beautiful face it is.
Yeah, he certainly runs great lines, Reece Walsh. Been running great lines down on the Gold Coast throughout the off-season. So, yeah, he might be a great pick at fullback.
Yes, yes, yes. Look, there's a bit of a trend already, isn't there? A couple of great line runners.
Yeah, that is very true. Didn't pick up that one with Ponga. But look, both of them on their day, as good as anyone at fullback. I think Ponga is a bit more established, a bit of a bigger body as well. So even though he's had his own injury issues, I think Ponga's just that little bit more kind of durable and probably at this stage much more of a marquee name to help bring other players along. And we've seen this in other sports as well, where whether it's the NBA, where if they get one superstar, it attracts other superstars, or even, you know, with the oil money of a soccer club like Manchester City, they signed, you know, one big name Brazilian, and as soon as he came, other superstars, you know, came to follow as well. So I probably think from that perspective, they'd be wanting to look at, okay, if not a Munster, that Kalyn Ponga would be the next biggest star on the list.
So for me, the next name that I would actually look at is one of the Munster's teammates, Harry Grant, who is off contract for 2023. So again, similar boat to Munster, can't be spoken to till next year, but he's potentially going to be the best hooker in the game for the next, I don't know how many years. So I can't fault any club for wanting to really make him one of the cornerstones of their team. So he's young, he's obviously exciting, and he's up and coming, but you know, he could potentially be the Queensland hooker for the next 10 plus years.
Oh, he's my favourite player to watch in the NRL. And obviously you can't deny Turbo being the best player in the NRL, given the season he just has. But, you know, look, I think Harry Grant's already a decent way better than Damien Cook. He just needs to stay on the field, and he's the best hooker in the game by the length of the straight, probably with Damien Cook and his teammate Brandon Smith there as well. It's, yeah, I mean, I don't think any club in the game would say no to Harry Grant if he expressed an interest. Obviously, Queensland boy, and they will want to make the spine of the side Queenslanders as well, which again helps attract, you know, those on the fence supporters away from the Broncos that they'll be trying to lure. So yeah, Harry Grant, just such a good player.
Do you have another marquee name that you think you'd go after?
Well, we talked about this off air, and I know Munster's Wayne Bennett's preferred player, but I think that someone like, and we know that, you know, a few years ago, Cody Walker's manager was the first person to ever bring up in salary negotiations that he was a super coach gun, yes. You know, with South management, that, you know, Cody Walker, he had just if Turbo didn't have the season he had, we would be talking about Cody Walker as one of the best players, or if not the best player in the game. Absolutely amazing season. He will be 33, I think, by the time the season starts. But, you know, he might have a kind of a one-year swan song with Wayne Bennett, who has quite frankly gotten the absolute best out of him. He's played the best footy of his career under Bennett. So that could be another marquee name, but obviously not one for the future per se, but maybe one to bring some instant legitimacy to the Dolphins.
Yeah, I was looking at the names potentially off contract in the halves, and you know, if Cody Walker's going to be 33 and you're bringing him in for a year or two, you'd probably want to pair him up with a real young up-and-comer. So, you know, there's not that many big names there, unfortunately. I think a lot of the good guys have just been tied up, the likes of Sam Walker and you know, the really young halves who have potentially a really big future. They all seem to be locked up at this stage. So, yeah, I don't mind that shout. Obviously, the existing connection there with Wayne Bennett will certainly help as well. I've got a bit of a left field one, actually. I reckon if I was starting a club, the first person I would actually look at would be Christian Welford.
Oh, yeah, I love him. Yeah, I was just, as soon as you started talking, I'm like, what a great inaugural club captain Christian Welford should be.
I mean, he is, you know, easily top five favorite player for me right now, not just on the field, but everything he stands for off it. Like, he, you know, the stereotype with props is they're not too bright, but, I mean, Welsh is arguably one of the smartest guys going around right now. When he talks, he makes sense. He's sensible online and, you know, he just ticks all the boxes. And what a, you know, what a stand-up guy on and off the field. And, you know, you just love the way he plays. He doesn't give up. And, you know, sure, he plays hard and sometimes he pushes the boundaries at times, as probably has been coached into him, given the team he's at. But, yeah, I love it. I think a lot of people would, you know, die for him on the field as a captain.
Attention listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Ready for an out-of-world experience, fellas? Look no further than the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped that's just taken off not only in the USA, but Canada, the UK, across Europe, here in Australia, South Africa, and Singapore. Inside the package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, highly recommended, Crop Reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your whole solar system. First scheduled for liftoff, new Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. This spaceship is here to guide you on a journey to trim your body, balls, butt, and even your anus. This fourth generation trimmer also features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 has a 7000 RPM motor, a new multi-function on-off switch, and it can engage a travel lock and is even waterproof. So get 20% off plus free shipping with the code CHAMPIONS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code CHAMPIONS at manscaped.com. Your dick and balls need some help for a clean trinity and beyond. Your space balls will thank you. So what does a prospective Dolphins kind of off-contract team look like, mate? We've talked about some marquee signings. You know, what do you think from a super coach perspective even could a prospective Dolphins side look like?
Yeah, look, I guess let's just start at the back and work our way forward then, I suppose. On the basis, maybe let's assume they've got Cam Munster. He's their man.
Yep.
He's the number one marquee signing, so that's one slot taken up. Because I guess on the basis that Wayne Bennett's already, you know, mentioned he's the guy he wants. We'll assume Bennett will get his man. So at fullback, if they've got Munster there, I think, you know, looking at the couple of off-contract guys, you know, you've got guys like Dufty, Gutho, Dylan Edwards, Hayes Perham. In 2023, there's a few other names. Someone like Selwyn Cobbo, obviously the Broncos would hate to lose him, and I think that would mean the Dolphins would love to get him. We've only seen a little bit of Cobbo in first grade, but after he played first grade, he went back to reserve grade and just absolutely blitzed it. And, you know, he had some real rocks and diamonds moments in the grand final of reserve grade. But, like, you could see the talent there. And I think he's potentially, you know, if he takes that next step next year, I've got really, really got a close eye on him. I think he could be really good, whether he's going to be at center or fullback, hopefully, for the Broncos in round one. So Cobbo could be a real target for them. You know, a couple other names, I guess, you know, Dane Laurie, still quite young, and, you know, Charles Nicol-Klukstad. Even Latrell Mitchell, 2023, is technically off contract, but you'd think some of those guys are going to get locked down at some point next year.
Yeah, I think the particularly Gutho is probably one of the more bigger names that we hadn't discussed. You've got to think that he's a eel for life, club captain, and absolute beloved by the fans. It just depends how much money they kind of spend in other places, because that it could range from a cut price Matt Dufty type, but even someone like a Dylan Edwards is more than fine as an expansion kind of player. I was actually a Cowboys young gun player when I was a young guy, so I was in the young gun system when they had their first year, the ARL. And they were an absolute dog's breakfast of a side, and they really only kind of had four or five established first graders, and it was just a mix of kind of other people that they'd pulled from other areas. I think the Dolphins, just given the salary cap, are going to have a much better base of player, but you are still going to be an expansion side and you're still going to have to compromise in a couple of spots. So hopefully fullback isn't that, but if they do, it's a Dufty type, and if they don't, maybe they can snag a Ponga and not leave much cap elsewhere, or a Reece Walsh, but someone around the Dylan Edwards level would probably be someone I target.
Yep, I think that's a pretty good shout there. If, again, you don't want a superstar at fullback there, because you've obviously got some guns in the halves. So moving to the centre wing position, so I guess this is really hard. Obviously, a lot of clubs don't focus on spending up at that position, much like Supercoach. But let's say if they wanted to get one somewhat established, experienced guy, who do you reckon it would be that you would look at? I mean, you've got, some of the guys, like some names that are off contract, like Josh Mansour or Corey Oates, David Mead, even Phil Sammy. Guys like that technically could be available for 2023. Again, looking a little bit further, you've got Xavier Coates, actually only just a two-year contract with the Storm, so he could be a potential signing for them as well. Nick Kotrick, the likes of Greg Marzu, former Titan. Sorry, not former, current Titan. So it's not exactly a far trip for him if he was to go to play for the Dolphins instead. Like, any names that stand out to you?
Yeah, I think a couple of current and former Broncos. This might be the position that they raid. I know weirdly Corey Oates' names get mentioned, but I think he's pretty cooked, frankly, as a player. Jermaine Asako, being in and out of the Broncos side, I think he's the kind of guy, again, for an expansion side that needs to fill holes. Versatile player, goal kicker. Herbie Farnworth is off contract at the end of 2022. And maybe, sneakily, Jack Bird.
Yeah, look, that's not a bad shout. I wonder if he'd want to go back up to Queensland, though, because I think, obviously, he's from that Wollongong-type area as a junior dragon, I believe. So, yeah, I wonder if he'd want to leave again.
Yeah. And at the top end, obviously, you've got someone like a Joey Manu who is technically off contract, but you've got to think if he's ever leaving the Roosters, the Warriors have been waiting with an absolute bag full of cash, trying to tempt him for some time now. So if he is going to leave the Roosters, you've got to think it's back to the Warriors. And Alex Johnston's the only other one, but I've got to think the money it would cost to tempt him away just wouldn't be worth spending on a winger for a startup.
I think Manu probably is a name we neglected to mention for fullback, honestly. He would be a genuine option to, build around if you wanted to have an up-and-coming potential superstar fullback who, he's obviously flashed big time, and the reality is like he hasn't really broken out at fullback for the Roosters because he's just permanently blocked there, like Teddy, unless Teddy leaves, which I don't think he will. It just doesn't seem like Marnie's ever going to get a shot of having that established role. So there could be some excitement for Manu to take on that challenge as well, being the face of, again, a new franchise like that.
Yeah, possibly. I've just got to think that the Dolphins would have to outbid the Warriors. If Manu's going to leave, it's the Warriors and the Dolphins would both offer him, I guess, the position of choice. And it would probably come down to money again because the Roosters wouldn't be able to match. So, if the Dolphins outbid the Warriors, good luck to him, and then he might be in red and white. But I tend to think that's probably a bit of a long shot. So centre wing, very much up in the air, and I do think it's the kind of position that, again, expansion side might want to skimp on if they're clever. But the halves, obviously, where it's very interesting, we've got Munster, would assume is the club captain in this particular scenario, but at halfback, it's a bit more of a slim picking. There's a lot more retreads there, isn't there?
Yeah, so like I was saying before, a lot of these guys, the real gun up-and-coming halfbacks have just been locked up. So some of the off-contract 2022 options, you know, you've got guys like Billy Walters, Cade Cust, Chanel Harris-DeVita. I think he's probably a very interesting option there that could offer something. If you're wanting the veteran, I mean, you've got to have Munster already, but if you don't have Munster, for example, you've got a young 5'8", and partnering him with someone like a Mitch Pearce could be okay for a season or two. I know Pearce is really getting a bit long in the tooth himself, and there's a lot of wear and tear on that your body given how long he's played for. But, yeah, I mean, for a year, he might be okay as an option. Looking a bit further ahead, I mean, you know, you've got technically some guys like Adam Duehi. You know, Luke Brooks is off contract. DCE is actually off contract too. So I don't think any of those guys would come back or be interested. Like, I can't see anybody taking a punt on Luke Brooks, basically.
To my best of my memory, and admittedly I'm getting old, but I'm pretty sure DCE was a Dolphins junior. So
sure that wasn't NRL physio? I mean,
well, you can tell by the neck. They don't look dissimilar, but one's got a normal size neck.
But I think they're right, actually. So there could be some interest there for sure. But I feel like, I mean, surely he's on like a lifetime contract at some point, right? Or the Seagulls giving up on that?
I had heard something about a lifetime contract at some point a few years back. But I did black out there because some of the names you were mentioning were absolutely stinky. Did you mention Ash Taylor?
I didn't, who is currently on a train and trial with the Warriors for 2022. So technically, yeah, I mean, if he shows anything at all, then that's certainly an option given he's local to the area as well. And I did, I must have misread because it looks like Sam Walker could be available for 2023. It must be a player option potentially as well for him. So you'd think the Roosters are not going to let him go, though. I could be shocked if he's able to escape the clutches of Trent Robinson.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, he was dropped at the end of the year for Lachlan Lamb. So, I mean, you've got to think that that's just because it's the end of a very long, grueling rookie season. But yeah, look, no doubt the Dolphins will place a call to his management. And as long as they don't tell him that he has to come alone and without his parents, they've probably got a decent shot, unlike your boys at the Broncos. But
don't remind me of that.
But yeah, again, you know, we keep talking, I know the salary cap's going to be the same for the Dolphins as it is for the other teams, but what the Dolphins don't have is that kind of established youth farm kind of system, feeder system, which means that yes, they're going to have a bunch of players in their extended squad that are going to be kind of, you know, Q Cup, you know, fringe players, but a lot of the most successful teams and certainly the ones that manage their salary cap really well have young players that they've brought through that are on quite small contracts because they're starting up. The Dolphins are going to have to essentially overspend to get those same players through. So there really are going to be, you know, some talent gaps on the roster and some depth issues, which is why we're talking about, you know, the likes of Ash Taylor, etc. Second row is pretty deep, I think, in the NRL at the moment. So there's got to be some quality available coming off contract.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's definitely, I mean, Angus Crichton's the big name potentially, but again, Roosters player, and from what I understand, they want him to stay, so it's unlikely he'll be able to get away. You know, you got some guys with promise, but you know, a lot of question marks over them due to injury or, I guess, technically, you know, off-field matters like the likes of Raymond Fitala-Marina, Corey Hawainara. Even, I mean, Ryan Madison is technically off contract as well. So, you know, if any of these guys don't get snapped up by their existing clubs, then I don't think, none of those guys would look out of, they wouldn't look out of place, basically, as a Dolphin, I reckon.
Yeah, Madison's a bloke who, and this is absolutely no criticism because rugby league careers are short and you need to maximise your earnings, but he's shown that he's a guy who will look for the best opportunity. So in terms of marquee names that kind of don't have a tie to either the region or to Wayne Bennett, he's one of the bigger names, I think, that would be open to a move. And certainly, I mean, he was kind of dropped towards the end of the year and or played reduced minutes for Para behind players who definitely weren't as talented on the edge. So you've got to think that Parramatta think that they can, you know, possibly do without him. So Madison could be a real good shout there. Look, I know you're not going to like it, or maybe you do, because I'm a much bigger fan of him than you are, is Patrick Carrigan.
Take him. Honestly.
Wow. God, I love him as a player. I think if he didn't do his ACL, he would have played Origin, and he just has that look of a 10-year Origin player to me. I mean, he was club captain at, what, how old, 21? Absolutely love him as a player.
Is that the right decision, though? Like, I honestly don't think it was a smart move to make him club captain. And, I mean, Anthony Seibold showed he'd had quite a few questionable decisions. Look, don't get me wrong. I think Carrigan's an okay player. He's not... I definitely don't rate him as highly as a lot of other Broncos fans do, and definitely not the way you do. I think he probably would have played Origin as well, and that's not... I guess my issue with him is I think he's very one-dimensional. Like, I think his best role is actually as a 40-50-minute prop, middle forward, not as a long-minute, big-minute lock that he seems to be wanting to be, and what Seibold was playing him as because... He just, and maybe it's because he's not been given the opportunity to develop his game, but like it frustrates me because he looks great on the stats, but his tackles, like he's got to be one of the softest tacklers I've seen. Like,
yeah.
His tackles are just so ineffective. He could be the first, second or third guy in and he just doesn't do anything. He needs someone else there to pull a guy down basically. You know, I'm obviously a big fan of Kobe Hetherington, but when he hits a guy, like they go down, you know? And sure, he's not a super coach stud the way Carrigan is because he doesn't have the same work rate. But his tackles, you know, I reckon if you had to grade them on quality, if quality mattered for points, I reckon his tackles would be worth far more than Carrigan's, basically.
So you're saying Patrick Carrigan, the next Nathan Hindmarsh?
Look, I mean, and this is the comparison I'll say. Cam Smith was very smart in the way he defended. But as a hooker, he was allowed to be the second or third guy into a tackle, and he'd get points for it very often because he was smart about it. Carrigan, as a middle forward, he shouldn't be that guy. He should be the first or second guy into every single tackle, but Carrigan never is. He's always the second or third guy. So, you know, if I had to compare him to someone, you know, Hindmarsh is not a bad comparison. So in terms of the tackling anyway.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. You know, he's a smart guy. He certainly... full effort. I can't fault him off the field. I just think when he's asked to play long minutes, he's ineffective and he makes lots of stupid decisions. And when he's tired, which is a lot of players, but let's just say Carrigan's stood out to me so much more because he was meant to be one of the up and coming stars. You know, he was the guy getting all the hype. He was the captain and he was making stupid things happen. Yeah. So there ends my Carrigan rant, okay?
Yes. And in a team with Payne Haas and Tevita Pangai Jr., I don't know why you're picking Patrick Carrigan out as making dumb decisions, but there we go. Look, just to finish off with the second row, I think a good shout. Again, he's probably past his peak already, but much in the vein of a Cody Walker, I think Felice Kaufusi is probably a really good option, both for name recognition and you've got to think that Bellamy maybe even would start to look to phase him out as near as next year, which would put him, you know, in good stead to have a start with the Dolphins.
Yeah, one of those one-year guys just drawing on the experience side of things, definitely. Couldn't fault that. A couple of other names that would be interesting for 2023 onwards, technically. I'm a big fan of Keon Koloamatangi. I just don't think, you know, the Rabbitohs would let go of him. But again, Wayne Bennett factor could play a bit of a part there. There's obviously, you know, technically David Fifita, 2023 is off contract and could be spoken to. I don't know. I mean, there's some rumors that he already wants to come back to the Broncos, and this is just not me spreading news. But I think the fact that, you know, he finished off the season in a pretty unhappy manner, coming off the bench, I definitely don't think that's going to go down well for Fifita. So, you know, whether he goes back to the Broncos, whether he goes and takes up a challenge as one of the, you know, marquee signings with a new franchise, I certainly could see it happening. I just don't think, you know, surely the next club that signs him doesn't pay 1.25 mil for him.
No, I just think that, you know, Holbrook did the right thing because, you know, you got to establish a standard and a work ethic at a club. And if your marquee player isn't trained, like he's never been a great trainer, but, you know, the rumors coming out of the Titans was that a big reason why he was demoted to the bench was he wasn't training well. And then when he was playing those 80 minutes, yes, of course, he flashed and did some incredible things from time to time. But, you know, his effort in defence was poor and he just never went looking for the ball. So, you know, the hope was he'd get a rocket fired up him coming from the bench. And it seemed to work for a few games. But yeah, I think I get the feeling that coaches will forever be looking for the levers to pull to get David Fifita to be motivated. He just strikes me as that kind of player.
And I guess what I will say, if there was ever a coach that would know the right lever to pull, it would be Wayne Bennett. So, again, that's where I think it could be a pretty good fit. Bennett just has this magic way of motivating players and knowing how he will vary the way he manages different players because of their personalities and knowing what works on the field and off the field for them. So, yeah, I think that could end up being a pretty good situation there for sure. And I guess finishing, moving from the edge to the middle, you know, you've talked about Patrick Carrigan. Look, Isaiah Papali'i technically is off contract as well. Like, surely some club's got to go hard at him before the Eels wrap him up again, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's going to be wedded to the Eels. They absolutely love him there, and he seems to be loving his footy. So, yeah, technically Papali'i is a potential signing, but I think they will look elsewhere, the Dolphins. But talking about the middle, I mean, the big boys up front, I just love the Christian Welsh signing so much, whether he'd want to leave Craig Bellamy in the Storm, despite being a Queensland boy, but he would be the guy I would 100% target, and he is more of a club captain type than Cam Munster is, isn't he?
100% agree. I can't see a world where Craig Bellamy will let that guy leave, just for all the on-field and off-field attributes that he offers the club. I think Bellamy will make sure he stays put, basically, which is a bit sad because I would love him at the Broncos.
So if he's your marquee prop, you've got to go a bit cheaper in the other positions and on the bench. I mean, Jared Wallace almost seems too obvious, right?
Look, you've already got me on a rant with Pat Carrigan. Like, let's not pull the Jared Wallace lever.
Don't make me get bare back on the pod.
I actually think if you wanted to go budget, I actually really like someone like Peter Holler, who I think just signed elsewhere. So the Cowboys lost him as well, but he's had a lot of hype about him, and you know, he's developing. And I know a lot of savvy Cowboys fans are pretty sad to lose him. So he would be someone I reckon could be quite interesting. Royce Hunt as well from the Sharks. We didn't see much of him this year, but I mean, I think he still holds the NRL record for most meters off the bench, where he ran for like 228 meters in 20 minutes, something insane like that. Just pumping out 10, 15-meter runs every single time he touched the ball. But yeah, super explosive. And I think someone who could be really potent for them off the bench, or even, you know, in a short 20, 30-minute stint at the start of a game, you know, partnering with a Welsh or something like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think there's a lot of promising, you know, up-and-coming forwards that could be looked at, and to overspend, I think that probably wouldn't be the smartest move. So, you know, I'd much rather spend the money on a really good hooker. So
there's a few of them available.
I think we already spoke about Harry Grant being, you know, the number one guy we'd go for. So let's just assume, you know, again, Craig Bellamy won't let him leave his clutches. So if you had to look at some of these other options, I mean, Reid Marnie, not a bad consolation prize, I reckon.
Hell of a player, and, you know, at times looked like the best hooker in the game last year, and certainly Supercoach scores reflected that as well. Just he's a genuine 80-minute hooker. You know, can give you anything if you want him to be a tackle bot, he'll do that. If you want him to, you know, be cheeky running out of dummy half, and even, you know, has that a bit of creative ball playing in him as well. And he's got a nose for the try line. So, yeah, I love him as a player. I think he'd be a great option. But to be fair, you know, he's not going to be leaving the Eels for cheap. So, you know, he'd be a fairly expensive signing alongside probably the next most likely star. Although, again, there'd be a lot of bidders for his services with Brandon Smith being off contract too.
Yeah, and I think he's one of those guys who'd be really good for I mean, despite the little hiccup, I think on the whole, I genuinely feel he's one of the good guys in league. Bit of a wild child, but I think as far as, you know, team culture goes, it seems like he'd be a really good teammate, fun to have around, and you know, keeps the boys in good spirits and obviously, you know, popular with the fans too. So,
well, if you've got him, Munster, and if you do get Rhys Walsh, imagine the lines they'd run.
Oh, imagine the social club.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, that would be a pretty scary prospect, actually.
And we know with his try-scoring record, he's got white line fever as well.
Yes, we do. We do know that. He's definitely got a nose for that line.
And what a nose.
All right. So, cheese, I think, great option. Less likely to be an option, I think, is Damien Cook, who's technically off contract, I think. But, again, can't see him being allowed to leave. He's too important, especially with the Bunnies losing Adam Reynolds. And I kind of a little bit interested in Cook for 2022 for Supercoach. I think with him, with Reynolds gone, I feel like Cook might take a little bit more of the direction and control of the team. So,
and Cook finished the year, you know, 5-round average of 71, 3-round average of 79. So finished the year a lot stronger than he started it. So, yeah, he could be onto it. Yeah, he'll certainly be slightly underpriced, I think.
Yeah, so again, if you're looking at some of the more cut price options at hooker, then, you know, someone like, I don't know, like Ruben Cotter's been playing more as a ball-playing lock. He was being used like that for the Cowboys, but I thought he flashed a little bit when he played hooker off the bench for the Cowboys last year. In 2020. So, you know, that might not be a bad shout. There's a couple of obviously more expensive guys like Coruscant, Hodgson, or maybe Hodgson might be snapped up soon. But, yeah, I don't think those guys would be a good fit necessarily for the Dolphins. I feel like if you're going to have a gun like Munster at six potentially, or, you know, you've got a real gun fullback as well, yeah, I kind of feel like they'd probably go with the cheaper option up front.
Yeah, I dare say that's the case. And he's not off contract, but I think the type of player that they might want to target that's in a cheaper bracket, someone like a Rhys Robson, you know, a good young hooker that can, you know, give good service to the star 5/8 and star fullback, presumably, and get the ball rolling that way. So, yeah, look, I mean, I think whatever the Dolphins do, they're going to be competitive from the start. Certainly being an expansion side, they're not going to be a premiership threat, but Wayne Bennett doesn't coach poor sides. They're always, you know, they're always disciplined. They're always well-drilled. So, you know, you can be guaranteed that they're going to be competitive right from the get-go.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I was looking at this article where the majority of clubs right now, what they tend to do is they spend about $3 million roughly on their spine between, you know, obviously their first choice options and then backups. Then they will spend about $1 million or thereabouts on the wingers and usually about, you know, five all up, including, you know, the starters and then the depth. And then they'll have about $1 million on center, again, four centers, the starters and backups. Then between the forwards, about $3 million. On their middles, and so they estimate about 9 middle forwards, so locks and props, and that assumes some of the middles maybe also be able to moonlight a bit on the edge, and then about 4 edge back rowers. So again, you know, adding up to about $1 million or so. So it's very interesting how a lot of these clubs don't quite follow that formula, but I guess that was just a general analysis across all 16 clubs at the moment. So it'd be interesting to see how the Dolphins make that work if they do, you know, reach out and get Munster on, say, $1 million or thereabouts, or, you know, whichever star they get at fullback, 5/8, or at hooker, you think they're going to be in the $1 million club, and then they're going to have to work around the rest for them. So, yeah, it'd be really interesting. I'm really excited, obviously. It's always good when there's a new club entering the NRL, I feel, and it's hopefully a step in the right direction for further expansion and, you know, more teams.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting. Look, a lot of people justifiably nervous about, you know, the direction that NRL leadership are taking the sport and all of that kind of stuff. They're worried about how much this waters down the talent pool. I think the enduring thing about rugby league is, you know, the crisis merchants that we mentioned earlier, you know, the journalists when – someone like an Israel Folau leaves or a Sonny Bill Williams leaves or something like that. There's always the articles written about, you know, rugby league can't afford to lose people like this. And inevitably someone steps into their shoes and is just the next superstar. It's just the kind of sport that just has this conveyor belt of, you know, great talent. And I guess a 17th team affords the opportunity for that. There are a lot of clubs that are poorly run. Redcliffe or the Dolphins, sorry, don't seem to be one of them. We'll see how they go when the Bullets are live. But, yeah, really excited for 2023.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, right, in terms of you look at a club like the Storm, you know, very well run. They lose possibly one of, if not the greatest player of all time so far. In Cam Smith, and it's business as usual. They break the winning record streak straight after without Cam Smith there. And then you've got a team like the Seagulls where they lose Tommy Dobrovolich mid-season and they go from, you know, a top four team to you know, bottom four arguably at times. So it's just a huge difference between clubs and, you know, their mentality and what they can dish up. So, yeah, exciting times for sure. But look, what is also exciting, and we didn't give a bit of an update here last week, but Top Sport NFL Fantasy Charity Battle. So, again, this is Team Supercoach versus Team NRL Fantasy. And, you know, we're 5 weeks in. We're about to start week six. I think it's safe to say right now Team Supercoach well on top. So right now I'm dragging the chain. For Team Supercoach, I'm the lowest ranked of all of us.
I mean, just like the podcast, Wolf.
on trend. But look, I'm coming seventh in the league out of 12. So for you know, that to be the lowest rank of us, it's not too bad, I think. And we run, you know, 1-5, and you're sitting in fifth.
Yeah, 0-2 start to the year wasn't so great, but 3-game winning streak. I play Wenin from the SC Talk podcast this week, and we're in a few leagues together, so we're old rivals going back many years, so it'd be interesting. He's at 4-1 with a bit of a gun team as well, but yeah, look, it's been a fun league, you know, lots of banter back and forth in the chat, and I think, you know, it's someone from Supercoach is looking primed to take out the overall prize and the money for charity.
Yeah, I mean, between Wenin and obviously Lakey, also from the SC Talk podcast, they're 1-2 at the moment. Lakey undefeated on 5-0, which is super impressive, considering, you know, he lost arguably the best player in the game in Christian McCaffrey for injury the last couple of weeks. So he's managed to keep his win streak intact. A bit of luck there, obviously, in terms of his opponents. I'm slightly bitter because I was looking at it. I think I've scored the fifth most points in the league, fourth maybe, and I've conceded points against me is like the third highest in the league. So, you know, you're in fifth, I'm in seventh, but I've scored 50 points more than you. And, you know, I've had almost 100 points more points scored against me. So
it's all about the W's, mate. You know, I can say that I've changed my lineup just to guarantee wins. I'd be lying, but you know, I could say that. Yeah, in the end, just like Bill Parcells said, you are as good as your record says you are.
Yeah, look, I'm still feeling pretty confident. My team's not too bad, and I'm feeling like I can definitely make a run from seventh. Still plenty of the season to go, that's for sure.
Indeed. So I think that brings us to about the end of this fun little off-season pod, Wilf. Have you got anything to take us out?
No, not in particular. Good place to finish. So thank you for listening as always.
Excellent, mate. All right, well, have a good one, guys. We'll talk to you soon.